hopefully I'll have something interesting to say. Look at Hosea chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to get our text this afternoon. We have really enjoyed spending the afternoon with you and visiting and getting to know some of you, then meeting some of you I haven't seen in years. I was telling Beverin Diane, I was telling about those girls that one used to come years ago. I was probably 8 or 9 years old and maybe 10, 12 years old right in there. Some of those girls were awful small. It's just hard to believe how all these kids grow up, and that's been a long time ago. A lot of them got families of their own, and time rolls on, that's for sure. Hosea 6, verse 1 says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the latter rain and the latter and former rain unto the earth." That third verse, it's some words talking about a return, a repentance, a returning to the Lord there in Hosea. That third verse says, "And then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Some of the other versions says, "If we press on to know the Lord." I like that, the way that's phrased. Following on, pressing on to know the Lord. We shall know him if we press on. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. Pressing on, pushing on, working on, following on to know the Lord. I think of that, and I think of that terminology. When we were in high school, we used to run a full court press in basketball. That's all our coach would do. Because by pressing and by pushing, we could make things happen. And the opposite is to lay back. Just lay back. We would say a little softer. And I like that thought when I think about pressing on to know the Lord. That means I'm going to push with all I can do to know and to become like our Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking at this and I had heard this verse, and I began to look at this verse several years ago. And one day I was studying 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to read our next few verses at. Some things just opened up to me that I'd never seen before. I want you to look at this with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." We've got it all. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. There's nothing else. A lot of that's through his word. We have Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit. And he says he's given us all things. He said, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." I like that. You ever thought about how we can be partakers of the divine nature, that eternal nature of Jesus Christ? And he's given us that promise. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, Jesus Christ is our avenue to escape this world, to escape this sinful world, to escape the lust and all the corruption that goes with it. And he's given us everything that we need that pertains to that. Then he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," or moral excellence. He says, when we're walking with Jesus Christ, he says, give all diligence to add to our faith virtue. Those things we talked about this morning that we need to get out of our life. Get them out. We want to live a life of moral excellence. And to virtue, add knowledge. You know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? You know all about him? Is there a lot more you can learn? He said he's given us all things that pertain unto life and how to live a godly life. He's given it all to us. So he says, be diligent to live the kind of life we ought to live. And to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To have the knowledge of our Lord that we ought to have. And to knowledge, add temperance or self-control. See, all these things are the things that we do as we grow with Christ. And there's times that we've got to stop back, like we talked about this morning. Stop and look, see where we're at. We may need to make some changes. To temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. You know, those are powerful, powerful words. Those are the kind of words I'd love for somebody to say about me. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You start to see a picture of the kind of people we ought to be. It's a virtuous life. It's a moral excellence. It's a life where we're not involved in a lot of the sinful activities that that sometimes we're involved in. And we've grown in the knowledge. We have self-control. We have kindness towards one another. We're giving people. And he says, for if these things, verse 8, be in you and abound, what will they do? They make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, being barren and unfruitful is something that we don't like. When there's something or someone or something in our life that's barren and unfruitful, it's doing nothing. He says if we lack the things we just talked about, if they're not in our life, we're not producing any fruit. We're stagnant. We're like that tree that produces nothing. We're just there. We're like just dead. So if we lack these things as we're growing in our life, we're unfruitful in the knowledge we don't know Jesus Christ. We're far away from him. Then listen to what he says. He that lacketh these things. What things? Instead of living a life of moral excellence, you're just the opposite. You're living a life of sin. Knowledge, you haven't grown in knowledge. You don't know the Lord like you ought to. You don't have any self-control. You're not a patient person. You don't care about the brethren. You don't have any love. It's all about you. Do you see the difference? When we grow in these things, you can see that in our life. I told some of the brethren this morning, I said, I was over at the hotel. I said, I was sitting down there just kind of looking over my sermon, and somebody from New Mexico came in, and we talked a little while, talked a long time. And I talked to the guy working at the hotel, and he said, you know, I said, you ought to come over if you get a chance, worship with us over here. And he said, I know some of those people. And he said, those are good people. He said, those are good people over there. He said, they're honest people. I don't know how he knows you, but that's so good to hear, isn't it? Aren't you? You ought to be glad. I'd like hearing that if I was worshiping here. That's what you want to hear. Where he can see a difference. So he says, he that lacketh these things. So we have a little clue if you're lacking them. People can see that if you're lacking them. You probably won't be so honest. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. What things? Things we've just read about. We're going to grow. We're going to become stronger. Now I want you to think about verse 9. He says, he that lacketh these things, we just talked about what you're lacking. Your life's not what it ought to be. You think about yourself. We're selfish, have no self-control. All those things he just said that we need to add. He said, when you lack these things, what happens to you? Somebody says, you don't grow. Well, that's true. When you really get that way, it says you're blind. And you cannot see very far. And as I was reading that one day, those next few words jumped out at me and I thought, that's it. How have I missed that all these years? I've read this verse and I hear verse 10 quoted a lot. Make your calling and election sure. He says, you will forget that you were purged from your old sins. Or at the quote, he says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You ever seen somebody and maybe it's been you sometimes. Maybe it's been me. But there's somebody in your family, somebody far away, just a brother or sister in the church. And you can say, man, they're headed down the wrong path. Sister so-and-so goes and talks to that sister. Brother so-and-so goes and talks to them. They won't hear you. They can get to a point where they have forgotten that Christ gave them eternal life. They have forgotten that Christ took away their sins. It never enters their mind anymore. What do we call that? He says that's being blind. Where you see everything, they can't see very far in front of them. All they see is their sin. One time my son and I were moving some cattle. We're on a four-wheeler and they were just gently going to what from one place to the other. All of them went but one. I began to get agitated. And I thought we were out there and I said, get on. So he got on the back with me. So we went on and started pushing her and pushing her. She would not go. You know what was wrong with her? She was blind and couldn't see very far. I said, we're riding along and I finally hollered at him behind me and I said, she's blind. She can't see. She would have liked to have went where the others were. She could barely see me, but I said, she can't see. And no matter what we did to try to persuade her, when you can't see, you can't see. And so when we become so off track, there are times in our life that brethren can become so far off track that when you go try to talk to them, they don't see what you see anymore. It's like there's no way out. I've talked sometimes I've got an uncle that I think a lot of, but he's been an alcoholic. My dad talked to him for years and I think he'll just die that way. I think it's a sickness. He has a hard time seeing what I can see. Or you see people that get in any type of sin where they're in it and you just try to talk to them. It's hard to see. They can't see a way out of where they are. I think it's interesting that when he writes there, he says, when you lack these things, you're blind, you can't see very far, and you have forgotten where you came from. Somebody says, well, it sounds like you're saying it's not their fault. I think a person can get in so deep that it's hard for them to see the way out. And the way out is Jesus Christ. And he says, if we'll do those things and grow, we'll never fall. But if we don't, he says, that's the way other direction you'll go. So why are we talking about when we're talking about knowing? He says there in verse 6 and in verse 5, to virtue, and to virtue add knowledge. Are we talking about the kind of knowing that sometimes you may feel like on a Sunday morning, just a Sunday morning kind of knowing Jesus Christ? You show up and you sing your songs. You listen to the sermon. You feel pretty good for a little while and then you walk right out the door. Is it that kind of love? Is it that kind of knowing that we're talking about? Mark 8:34, he says, he who will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Does that sound like the kind of knowing we're talking about? Is that the kind of knowing that you want? A verse we hear quoted a lot, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what he's telling us there? We read that a lot, and it's hard to, sometimes some of you may have not caught at all what I just said. But the word of God is good for everything in our life. It corrects us. It reproves us. It gives us doctrine. It corrects us. And it's profitable. John 14, verse number 5 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can go back and you can look at Psalms chapter 119. Read Psalms 119. I won't take time to read the whole chapter. You can read that whole chapter. It's beautiful. Talking about putting God's word in our heart so that we won't sin. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's verse number 119 and 105. I tell you what, dude, look at Psalms chapter 119. I don't want to read it all, but I want to read a little bit of it today because it's too, It's too good on what we're talking about. Psalms chapter 119. Verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. What's he saying there? He said, oh, that I would be directed to keep all your statutes. Oh, that I would want to serve you all with all my heart. And he says, then shall I not be ashamed. When are we not ashamed? When we give God our whole heart. When I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And we can keep reading, and he's going to repeat this pattern. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. He's talking about being the kind of person we ought to be where we put God's word in our heart that we won't sin, and we do it willingly. Every verse from Genesis to Revelation is designed so that we can learn to know and love the Lord. You're sitting there in the audience. What is this? Almost November 1st. What is this? October 30th, 29th? The year's almost over. Well, let me ask you this. 2016's almost over. You're fixing to start getting ready for Thanksgiving. To me, when that hits, it's over. There's not a lot that happens. We all slow up. Anyways, at home, it seems like everything slows up. As you honestly look back, and myself also, October, September, August, July, go all the way back, has it been the kind of year for you where you come to worship and you've grown in the Lord? Do you know a little more about the Lord? Have you grown to love the Lord a little more in 2016, or is there not a lot of difference? What do you want from God? What does Alan want from God? I guarantee in 2 months, right around 2 months from now at home, somebody's going to give a sermon. You know what it's going to be about? This is 2017 if time continues and I'm still here. What are you going to do different in 2017? Someone may do that here. You're going to reflect. Well, and I do it every year when Christmas hits. Day after Christmas, I'm always, and that whole week I reflect. Not sometimes I'll say, I wish I'd have done things a little different. But I let it get away from me. Sometimes we tell God that we're tired and that we're weary. And we want forgiveness of our sins. We want some mercy. You want to hear something from God. You want to hear a clear word from God sometimes. You ever feel that way? Something that will convict your heart. I look for that all the time. I'll tell my wife sometimes. I'll listen. I've got two things I listen to, either gospel music or talk radio. And gospel music's great, but sometimes talk radio's hard on the heart, I'll tell you. But I listen for something that will prick my heart. Maybe it's a preacher sometime. I may switch around. And I want to hear something that motivates me. I like that. Something from God's word. But then there's always somewhere during the day or at home that I hear, I see something that may tell me that I really don't need to do that. Maybe the most intelligent people that I hear on the radio or somewhere convince me otherwise that I'm really okay with just where I'm at. I think that's the devil. Sometimes they'll even write books or they have radio shows and you listen to some of the garbage and they're telling you you're really okay. I don't know if you're ever like that or not, but there's times that I feel that way. I'm thinking, I need to make a change, small change, big change. And someone convinces me that I'm all right, but I know different. Doesn't ease my conscience. Deep down inside, I know I want a closer relationship with my Lord. And I want the Lord to tell me like it is. I want you to look at Galatians 1. I want you to look at what Paul did in Galatians 1 in verse number 18. I'm sorry, verse number 8. This ties in a little bit with what we talked about this morning. Galatians 1 verse number 8. All right, Paul says here, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Very common verses, isn't it? As we said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I certify unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to tell him a little bit about himself. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased my God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he said there came a time when I was going to make a change. He said, sure, I followed things as zealously in the Jews' religion above everybody else. But he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. He said, God had a plan for me and the time came for that to happen. He said, Paul said, I was going to be used by the Lord that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now I read a long reading and I thought I'd like to give a little background. Paul talks about the gospel is the truth. And he says, in my history, he said, I worked hard in the Jewish religion. I was zealous. But he said, there came a time when I figured out I was going to be saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, God had a plan for Paul. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're sitting in the pew right now, and God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me. What'd Paul do? Listen to the end of verse number 16. He said, immediately. What did he do? Immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Remember how we were talking about a while ago? Sometimes we're thinking, hey, God's got a job for me to do, and I'm not doing it. First thing we want to go do is go talk to somebody. Maybe somebody's going to talk us out of it. Did Paul do that? He says in verse 15, called me. The Lord called me by his grace. Verse 17 says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go hunt down Peter right then. He didn't need to know Peter's opinion. But I went to Arabia. And return again in Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. We'll stop there. Isn't that interesting? You know, we talked about this morning specifically about cutting things off and when you need to cut things off. You know, I think the worst thing we can do is when it's time to cut things off is go pick up a I won't call it that, and I'll call it a silly book by doctors, whoever. Or turn on the radio to somebody who's so smart, or read somebody's book on man-made philosophy, and it talks us out of what we know God wants us to do. See, Paul didn't do that. And I love the way he says, because I mean, it's just boom, boom, I was called. And he said, and immediately, you'd think he's going to go do something, but he said, immediately, I did not confer with anybody. I did what I was supposed to do. Paul was not a people pleaser. I talked about a little bit about this morning. I mentioned where my kids go to school is a Christian school, or my boy that's left in school. Head of the school one day was talking, and he had a tough decision to make. And he was balancing. He said, you know, when I took this job, he goes, I did not take it for my number one job to be to please everybody. And he said, my job was not to keep from offending people. He had a tough decision to make, and it had been made, and he was right. So he didn't need to confer with any of us to change his mind. It was time to do something. And he said, that's not my job, is to keep from offending people. You know, your job is not to keep from offending your wife. They probably know that. It's the way sometimes we are. Or your family. When we know what we need to do, we don't need to go confer with somebody sometimes. I'll say that. If we know what is right, we need to just do it. If my kids were here, they would, when we're doing things, my daughters and my son, they used to work with me, out on the farm doing different things, I would get on to them. Sometimes I would say, and they could quote me, if they were here, they could quote me on what I would tell them. I'd say, it's not what you're doing, but it's how fast you're doing it. Because it would drive me crazy when they would be doing something, it's taking them forever. Well, that's not 100% true, but my point was, be doing something. Move. There's nothing worse than when my kids would know what to be doing and they weren't doing it. And so sometimes I would tell them, it's not what you're doing. He goes, I want to see how fast you can do it. And that just simply meant, move. You know, that's sometimes the way we are. We can sit there and think things to death when really all the Lord's telling us to do is move. Do it. Which brings me to the last point. Somebody says, well, what are you talking about? You went from studying God's word, then you went into Paul. My wife and I have had many conversations about studying God's word. In fact, we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. We talked about how we had fell out and weren't doing like we wanted to do. And I'm going to give you a confession, and I've confessed it to people before, and I will confess it to you today. Do you know what Alan's number one problem is for not putting God's word in my heart? Because I'm telling you, when I really do and I really pray, it's amazing how God changes my life. He's given me everything that I need to know that pertains to life and godliness. The verse that I was reading a while ago, where it talked about how we're blind, have forgotten that we were purged, that's nothing new. I just had never grasped that before. Nobody told me that. I read it, and once I read it 15 times, I thought, my goodness, there's the answer. That's why I can't reach people, because they're blind and they can't see what I'm saying. But we do that through studying God's word. But you know what Alan's number one problem is? Don't raise your hand if you've got my problem. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to politics and the election and all that garbage, it can get on my mind, and I listen to it too much, and it distracts me, and it makes me angry. I don't know how else to say it. I heard Bud Jones up speaking a couple of years ago, and he said he knew a friend. And he said some individual was constantly listening to Fox News. Anybody ever listen to Fox News? There's got to be somebody in this congregation that listened to Fox News. But he said that's all he wanted to talk about. And so for me, probably when I was a kid, it used to be football and sports, not quite so much anymore. I still enjoy that. But now that's what it is. If I get on that, it takes up a lot of my time. And studying God's word and praying to my Lord gets kind of put on the back burner, because my mood changes. So I'll confess to you, that's my thing that I have to watch. Because if I get up in the morning and drink my coffee and I turn on the news and I start getting mad, I don't want to study. And morning is when I like to study. I've heard of brethren in Oklahoma studying at the park, having a public study. That's good. I've heard of brethren memorizing verses so that they can become stronger in the knowledge, and those words will come to their mind and they'll ponder on those things. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. You know why people want to memorize verses? They want to hide God's word in their heart so they might not sin. You know why people want to study in a park? They want to encourage people to put God's word in their heart so that they might not sin. So as I challenge you this afternoon to press on to know the Lord, I don't care who you're voting for. I had to think about that. That's not the number one thing in life, is it? Now don't jump me after church. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's not the most important thing. I don't care who's playing the starting quarterback for the Cowboys when Romo's ready. That's a big topic at home, probably here too. How will you put God's word in your heart? You know, if you'll create study habits, you might put God's word in your heart. Your relationship might get a little better with your husband and your wife. You might not be a people pleaser if that's what you are. We might learn to act instead of thinking when we need to. We had a bunch of young people over at the house 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess. And this is what we talked about. Not this sermon, but we talked about studying God's word, challenging the young couples, challenging the older people that were in the room to create study habits yourself. There are so many distractions today in 2017. I'm not talking about the 50-year-old, which I almost am. I am. I'm talking about the 18-year-old girl in this audience. Do you study? Do you ever take time to study? If you do, praise God. You notice this morning I didn't put in Fox News as the deal I needed to pluck out, but that's probably what I need to do sometimes. We went and saw a movie about a couple of years, 2 years ago. I'm sure some of you saw it. Whether you did or not, you may not have liked it. That's okay. The movie called War Room. You know what the movie was about? It was all about prayer. I saw that movie more than once. And then at the school, somebody gave me a book and said, read this book. And it was all about prayer. And it helped me. So next question that I'll ask you to press on to know the Lord. What's your prayer life like? Now be honest. I'm not asking you to tell me after church. You might talk to your husband or your wife. What's it really like? Mine's been really up here before and then it's come back down. But you know, when it comes back down, I can tell it. As far as studying God's word and trying to grow with the Lord so that we may not sin and praying to our Lord and developing a deeper relationship with our Lord. Husbands, it's not your wife's job to tell you when to do that. And wives, it's not your husband's job. He may want to leave, but it's not, he's not responsible for you. I think that's important to say. Now, I rely on my wife a lot, and when she's motivated, it helps me, I'll tell you. And I think vice versa. But you know, she's responsible for herself. You kids that are not married yet, you know, you're responsible. It's not mom and daddy's. It's not their fault what you do. They may guide you, but that's up to you. And lastly, I did this sermon a few years ago. This is the thing that I'm the weakest at. And I don't know. It's not the way I'm wired, but I will throw it out there because it has helped me. And it would help you, especially when I go back and find some of the things that I wrote about. You know, if you'd write down some of these things and document some of these things that you're studying, that you're praying about, I think it's wise. I think it's wise because you can go back a year later, and if you're struggling with something and you wrote it down, you can go back and see what you were doing in April of 2014. If you're still right where you are, you may need to take some steps if there's something you were struggling with then. It's a good reminder. I've done some of that. I don't do that as much as I ought to, but I have done some of that. And I do think it's wise to write down some of the things that you struggle with for yourself. And maybe your wife or husband's helping you with them. If nothing else, you keep up with who you're praying for, what you're praying about, what you're studying about, what your struggles are about, and maybe what your strengths are. The whole goal is to have a plan for yourself to press on to know Jesus Christ more. And how more can you do that besides prayer and deep study, or study and deep prayer? I think these things are very important.